You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to another show of the Concierge Coaches Show. Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz. I'm Wayne, and Bruce is kind of off the program today. He's had something come up, and our guest speaker, Dave Bryant, may have to reboot, but he's here. We talked to him just a minute ago. But if we got an exciting day today, Bruce will be back next week at the regular time. But today we're going to be speaking with Dave Bryant, and Dave has written a new book. He's a very good author. This book is called The Confessions of a Door-to-Door Salesman. And Welcome to Success. And what a book. I read this book. I've read dozens and dozens of books about sales, self-help, and all that. But I'm going to tell you what, this one hit home because it's real. It's so real. It's real. It's personable. And at the end of each chapter that Dave covers, we're going to go through some of them, he's got a lesson. And that's a really, really good thing. So I think we're going to enjoy hearing about this book. And it's about 300 and some pages long, but it's very easy read. I think you'll really, really enjoy it. And to begin with, it's got chapters that we can learn from that start off with find your why. In other words, if you're in sales, or no matter what you're doing, whether you're in sales, or I think we're all in sales no matter what we do. If you are a doctor, you're selling people on your what might be wrong with them and what they need to do to repair it. And then about leadership, the power of money. The hustle pays off. In other words, never stop. But at the end of all of these, it's just like the hustle pays off. If you go to that chapter and you read through it, at the end of the chapter is a lesson. And that's a pretty good thing. The lesson that he learned is that leaders need to guide their people hands-on. In other words, showing them the way and how to succeed, especially direct sales. It's about accompanying someone else less experienced. So Dave, through each of these chapters, has told a real good story in the chapter, a real life example that he has done, that he's lived through, that he learned from, and the lesson he ties it up with at the end. And that's just amazing. And I'd like to introduce this guy. He happens to be a good friend of mine. We didn't start out that way, but we didn't start out as enemies either. But this is my good friend, Dave Bryant, and he lives down in Tampa, Florida. And Dave, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Wayne. I had a little technical difficulty, but I believe I'm caught up with you. And I'm so excited to be here with you guys today. It's a beautiful day here in Florida. So, Wayne, what questions can I answer about this book and how it can help people?
Well, Dave, I was just going through some of it, and I think the best, I don't know how we're going to answer, but I think the best way to handle this is to go through some of the book. You know, the way you broke down each chapter, because it's called Confessions of a Door-to-Door Salesman. And that in itself is an open topic. If any of us have been in sales, I mean, you could stop and think about a lot of things that could go a lot of different directions. But right. Let's pick anything here. Sales career on fire. Is that it? Okay, yeah. It doesn't matter. But if we just take a chapter, pick any chapter, you can't win. Everybody's a winner.
Right.
Here's a good one. Let's go to page 53, Dave. The power of teamwork and mentorship. You know, our business, the sales business, is all about help that we get as we're coming up, and also the help we can offer to the younger people just getting new into the sales. I can count every one of my mentors. And I didn't hire them. They just came into my life.
Right. Well, I think the most important thing for those of us that are in the sales arena, whether we're salespeople or we're managers or we're leaders or we own our own business, is as part of the growth process, we're always looking for that next great salesperson. And when we do that and we spend that energy trying to find that person, trying to bring that person in, we grow personally. So if Wayne, you go out and you bring in a new lady to sell your product, now you're putting time and energy and philosophy and hard work into her and helping her. It takes your mind off you and your issues and your problems, and it makes you a better teacher, a better trainer, a better salesperson, a better customer advocate. But not only that, that person then gets excited and he or she brings in another friend, another neighbor, another relative. And now we have stuck people to people. And when there's two of them or three of them working together, there'll be an explosion of energy, an explosion of sales, an explosion of growth, an explosion of business, and it goes on and on and on. Some of the times that I can recall bringing on board somebody that I thought would be a good salesperson maybe, but not tremendous. Working with them for a week or 2 weeks and having them bring in their sister-in-law. And she just goes like a house on fire. And the sister-in-law is so powerful and everybody's wanting to meet her and wanting to be a part of her and know her. And it's just a good thing. And all of a sudden, time's gone by. And maybe she decides to leave the business or move to Topeka or retire or something. But that original guy, who might not have been the greatest, was so inspired by his sister-in-law that he stayed in the company, in many cases, for years and years and years, way beyond what we might have thought he could do. So I think there's a lesson in the book. It says, stick people to people. And Wayne, that was actually a phrase you coined to me years later, I think about 7-8 years ago, after I'd experienced it and was starting to grapple with it and understand it. It's real simple. If you're in a business where you're constantly growing and expanding, you bring someone in, you mentor them and love them, get them to bring in a friend or neighbor, get them to bring in a friend or neighbor as soon as possible. Once you get that little pot of people, the explosion happens. Hope that makes sense to you. Was that what you were looking for?
Yes, exactly. And Dave, but from reading your book and listening to you, different times we've been together, I don't think I gave that to you. I think you had it already. So you've built people throughout your life. And to give a little background, I think we should start with that maybe. You know, if we could tell everybody on the call, you started in the direct sales business. I think where you really probably got your feet wet in it is in the carnival business.
Well, yeah, that's true. Well, first of all, when we mention the word carnival, people immediately summon up this thought of a disparaging business where maybe people aren't ethical, et cetera. But I, believe it or not, started at age 10 with a very ethical, very solid citizen who'd been a third generation carnival owner. And I went on the road with him, despite my mother's protests, she finally agreed to let me go. And I had a lot of fun running rides and games, but especially loved running the games. And what I learned a lot about Wayne, naturally, but also by reading and also by listening to some of the old timers, was building a crowd and building the enthusiasm of the crowd. And it really works. It's kind of the same thing we talk about social media today. Well, if you let everybody know what's going on, then everybody will get excited and everybody will do whatever it is we want them to do. So there is a page in the book that talks about a simple game we had. It was a carnival game called Hoopla. And in Hoopla, you buy these wooden hoops and you stand back from about 8 feet and you throw them at these prizes. And if they go over the prize, and they land flat on the table, you get whatever's in the prize box. And beautiful stuff, Wayne. Beautiful Timex watches in those days. And we're talking over 50 years ago. And glassware and stuffed animals and all kinds of stuff. And it was expensive stuff. We spent 40% of our take at wholesale just buying these prizes. So we sold three hoops for a quarter. But the hardest thing was to start the fire, Wayne. People would walk by, I'd yell, hoopla, hoopla, three for a quarter, and nobody would come by. Finally, I'd see some cowboy walking by. I'd say, hey, sir, can I see you for a second? They'd stop. He'd come over. I'd say, listen, three for a quarter. I don't want to play. And I'd hold out three hoops. And I'd go, one, two, three, 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 three. I said, you must have a quarter in there somewhere. So but I've given him 10 or 12 hoops. Well, he throws me a quarter. Well, just as he starts throwing the hoops up in the air, I start yelling, oh my gosh, look at that, look at that, look at that. Another cowboy walks by. I said, hey, sir, come here. They're three for a quarter. Three, 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 three. Give him 10 or 12 hoops. By the time I got three cowboys together, and we played a lot of sports days and rodeos, that's why I call them cowboys, they'd all be throwing hoops and yelling and screaming. Everybody else would come by and give them three for a quarter. Well, I'm telling you, Wayne, as a 10-year-old, I could run that game up to $1,000 a day, almost all in quarters and dollar bills. And that's a lot of folks playing, and that's a lot of hoops. That's a lot of back-breaking bending over an 8, 10-hour day on a dusty carnival lot. But that is the essence of what it takes. Create the excitement. Identify winners. Identify players. Identify people that are doing things. Whatever you got to do, just shovel the kerosene on the coal till you get the fire lit. And then once it's lit, it'll burn. And in direct sales, you and I know it's the same thing. People don't just start out selling. They start out maybe a little bit, but we got to get them excited, keep them excited, plan campaigns to get them excited. And then once they see each other rolling, now we got something going. And it's the same thing. Social media has been so good for us in our industry because we can say, congratulations to Johnny. Congratulations to Susie. Look how well they're doing, et cetera. So, Wayne, I see your screen's gone blank. Can you hear me? Okay, well, you may have a technical problem just like the one I had. So I'm going to pick up a page and keep going. I want to talk about a thing that occurred to me when I'd been in the business a couple of years. Once I started as a part-time direct seller, I started in September of 1978. 46 years ago. And I started part-time. And I told the boss, I'll work with you part-time till I get a real job. Now, this is all on page 78, 79, 80 of the book, actually, page 80. It's called Top Sales. In February 1981, I was fortunate enough and enthusiastic enough and energized enough to create a massive, exciting month for myself. And Wayne, I went out in that month and ended up being top in the country. I'm on page 81 talking about another issue. So ended up being top in the country. And that was out of 7,000 salespeople at the time. That's pretty good lick for a young guy. And boy, was I enthusiastic. But as I started getting recognition, I started getting full of myself and, you know, a little egocentric and a little cocky and a little smart, you know. And I knew I was hearing the feedback that that was going to be a problem because people don't like people that are braggadocious and they don't like people that are all egocentric. And but I was enjoying it because people were saying good things about me because, after all, I was number one. But it turns out if you really want to be number one, there's a price to pay for leadership. Well, I came to a convention in April of 1981. Our president was there. There were 300 people in the audience. We're going to have a great month. And he takes the stage and in his delightful baritone voice, he describes how I've won not one, not two, not three, but 8 different trophies, Wayne. Oh, my goodness. That'll feed your ego. So what am I going to do? I got 8 trophies. And he says, now we're going to have him come up and address this audience. And as I was walking up, I was having this internal dialogue. And keep in mind, I'm 23 years old. I beat 7,000 other people. But 2 months prior to that, I was like in the bottom 100 of those 7,000. But through the force of will that I'll describe in the book and some mentoring and some good reading, I had redesigned and refocused my mind, and I scored. So as I'm walking up to take these trophies, I'm thinking about all this. I'm thinking, this audience is going to hate me. They're going to hate me. They're not happy with me at all. I'm just a young punk to them, and they're all older, seasoned, veteran guys. So as I got up to the podium, I said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for, you know, seeing me here today. I'm so humbled to be around you guys. As I look at the audience, I see 50 men or women that are far better than me. And I know you'll all go out and beat the pants off me over the next 2 or 3 months. And then I named names. You know, Gord Peekman, Jerry Riley, Walter Willie, Don Campbell. You guys are all fantastic. And I just hope every day I can be as good as you. Thank you so much. Sat down. Oh, the audience loved it because I had deflected all that energy and all that focus from just being on me to being back to them. And that was an important thing that I learned. And I don't know how I don't exactly know how that happened. I think it was osmosis. I was watching some of my mentors be smart enough to deflect the praise and put it on other people. And so as I'm walking up that stage, that occurred to me. So the book's more than just sales. It's about sales, but it's about leadership too. And that was an important part of leadership.
Well, Dave, let me ask you something. That's what I wanted to get to also. Is what got in your mind and your heart to write a book about the confessions of a door-to-door salesman? What did you want to accomplish? What was inside of you that you needed to get out and why?
Well, you know, Wayne, over 20 years ago, I had a sales trainer who was a great guy, worked for me, and he'd been with Avon Products and then another couple of companies, then with Salad Master. And every time we do some training, I'd tell a story with a lesson. He'd say, Senor Bryant, you need to write a book. You need to write a book. And he kind of got in my head. He said, I never heard anybody knows all these stories. Yeah. So I kind of always thought, you know, someday I'll write a book. But again, you know, the writing a book, Wayne, is a humbling experience. I don't want to be a braggadocious guy. So I sat down and I said, if I'm going to write a book, it's got to be to help other people. And so as I was writing the book, I wrote it from the standpoint of my personal experience and the lesson learned and how it could help someone else. Could it help them in their recruiting? Could it help them in their leadership? Could it help them in management? Could it help them in general communication, in business communication, in investing, in family life, in ethics, integrity? And so those themes are woven throughout the book. You know, my life, I was fortunate enough to report to 14 or 15 different CEOs. You learn from all the great ones, but you also learn from the bad ones. And the lessons from the bad ones are, don't do what that guy did. And so I was just fortunate enough to learn and watch and watch and learn. And I thought, I'm going to write this book. I'm going to do it. And I hope to do good. Look, Wayne, you and I have been direct sellers between us for almost 100 years. If we can help one other man or woman go out and have a great, successful career, that's an amazing thing. I know I quit 100 times, and 101 times, someone else dragged me back and said, you can do this. Stay with it. You're going to be good at this someday. Stay on it. Don't give up. You're a great one. And that's what we all need to hear. But it's far more than just direct sales. It applies to to every job. My own daughter called me today. We had a little mini mentoring session because, you know, something had changed at her company and she hung up all happy. And God, we're all blessed with the ability to give that to somebody else. So I was fortunate enough to do that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I know that in your career in Florida with the Salad Master Company, you never gave up. You never, never, never gave up. You would be the person that would take people by the hands and go out and knock doors, do whatever it takes. And you became a master dealer. A master dealer in our company was a dealer that far excelled the normal. And you got special rebates out of that. You got a special overseas trip, 5-star. And that was really good. But then we have different levels of the master dealer. So you made master dealer, but then that wasn't good enough. You made grand master dealer. Then you made elite master dealer. And you've made this several times. And it was all because in direct sales, businesses are personality driven. I was at a lot of your Monday meetings, a lot of your open houses, a lot of your training sessions, a lot of your sales rallies. And I'll tell you, nothing would have ever happened if it hadn't been for your drive and your commitment. You know, it's the old thing that you lead by example, and you led by example all the time. And Dave, I'm not bragging about that, but that's what it takes in this business. You've got to wake up and you've got to have that commitment. You've got to have that commitment stronger than you had it yesterday. And you had it real strong yesterday. And if someone's not ready, you take them by the hand and you drag them along. Just like you said, the 101st time you fell down, somebody picked you up and told you that you could do it. So I've seen you do that with a lot of people. Those are one of the strengths it takes to keep on keeping on. And not just in direct sales, that's in anything. You know, it's kind of like that mom that burst into her son's bedroom and she said, "Get out of bed, get out of bed." He said, "Why?" He said, "It's school. You've got to get to school." He said, "Mom, I don't want to go to school. I'm tired of school." And she said, "Well, you got to go, you got to go." And he said, "Give me one good reason why." And she said, "Because you're the teacher." That is the truth. We can all get to feeling like we don't want to go to school at times, but a good leader takes that person by the hand and shows them how easy that is, or lets them know that they care. And I think the reason that you wrote the book, you know, a lot of people in our industry kind of act like a big shot or kind of act like they run a tight ship and they're kind of brash. And it takes that, I think. But Dave, one thing I noticed about you that I think makes this book such a success is that you've got a heart as big as Texas.
Hmm.
Well, you know, you get people in your organization and they'll say, "Dave's a big teddy bear." And that's kind of what it is. You've helped, and let me repeat, you've helped more people than Carter's got little liver pills. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if anyone on this call can remember what Carter's liver pills were, but there were a lot of them. And I just think that you've got to have those accolades given to you now, because you are very humble. But to be a good leader, you know, I always read that you give the credit and you take the blame.
Yeah. Well, you know, Wayne, thank you for that. You've caused me to reflect a lot in the last few minutes. You know, the hardest thing that we had to do was constantly come up with sales leads for our people. And when our systems would run dry, our referrals, our exhibit shows, our office leads, we'd go out, go door to door and give away free gifts and brochures and and book appointments and have some place for people to go. And in all the companies I worked with, we did that. But that's a hard thing to get people to do. So I think the magic and the secret to doing that, which I consider probably the toughest thing in the direct sales business, is to take someone by the hand and show them how to do it, make it effortless, make it fun. And as soon as they have even the slightest success, catch them doing something right. You know, I'd grab my camera and get a picture of them walking from one house to the other. And I'd post it on Facebook and I'd say, you know, this is Chris and he's out here working, handing out flyers and giving away free food samples and doing things like that. So you catch them doing something right. You make it fun and you get in the car and you just overwhelm them with praise and energy and enthusiasm. Because it's like if you keep doing it, it catches fire. And once they do it enough, over and over and over, suddenly to their profound surprise, they find they like making cold calls. It took me 6 months to like making cold calls. I hated it. Hated it. But I'll tell you a quick story that puts it all to success. It's not or into the spotlight. It's not in the book. But as a cold call salesman, the one thing I didn't like was making those cold calls. But in March of 1980, I came to Clearwater, Florida from Central Canada. And our sister company was having a morning meeting. And the guy's name that was running the company, Wayne, was Carlos Garcia. So I knocked on the door. He opened up early. I said, Carlos, I'm from Canada. I'm from your sister company. Do you mind if I watch the meeting with you? He said, oh, that'd be great. So he went in and ran the meeting. He did a great job. And then he had a big truck full of inventory come. So I helped him unload the truck. You know, just wanted to spend some time with this guy. I said, Carlos, I said, you know, I love this business, but I hate going door to door, Carlos. I just hate it. I said, you know, I'm starting to get used to it, but I hate it. He said, Senor Dave, I love it. I said, you do? He said, I love it. I said, why do you love it, Carlos? He said, Senor Dave, for 10 years, I was locked in Castro's prison. And every day I got a big hammer and got to break rocks. And that's all I did all day long, 7 days a week for 10 years. Finally, they let me out and I escaped to America. He said, I get to go out door to door in the bright sunshine to talk to people and try and sell my product. I love it. Oh, my gosh. I just slapped the heck out of me. It's all perspective. Once we change our minds and get ourselves thinking right, everything changes. And that's what happened. So you'll see a lot of that stuff in the book, Wayne. You'll get a lot of those instances, a lot of those stories. Wayne, can you hear me?
Sure. You're muted.
Yeah. Hope that was helpful.
Well, that I've heard that story from you before, and that is amazing. Guy, that can you imagine?
Oh, yeah.
About, you know, that's why we say have an attitude of gratitude.
Yeah.
Because there was somebody that broke rocks
for 7 days a week. For 10 years. I go out in the hot sun in 2 hours. I'm like tired and sweaty. And oh my gosh, it's so hot here in Florida. I think I'm going to die. He did it every day for 10 years and on meager rations too.
Yep.
And he didn't get any money or any bonuses or any trophies.
Yeah. Man alive. It's amazing. But you know, Dave, when you have it, and I always want to refer to the book. I hope everybody gets this. Where can you get this book, Dave?
You can get it on Amazon. And again, it's under my name, Dave Bryant, and it is Confessions of a Door-to-Door Salesman. So, you know, I had a lot of nice positions in the various companies I was fortunate enough to work for. But, you know, Wayne, the core and essence of all of them was to be a salesman. And whether you're selling product to the customer or you're selling education to your own team to get educated, or you're motivating them, or you're addressing the board of directors. You're selling at all times. That's what we do as leaders. We're selling people on the idea of moving forward with energy and enthusiasm and,
exactly.
and going to the next level.
When you make a point, or when you know what you're doing, when you've learned, and like you said, you started learning when you went up to give that acceptance speech.
Oh yeah.
That you praised other people instead of yourself.
Yep.
But when you finally that clicks and you get you're in the saddle pretty good, and you understand, and you're starting to understand what the role of leadership is and how to make that work, not only for your business, but for other people's futures. You said that you had this one guy that said you always finish something up with a story, and it made him laugh. He said, how can you know all this stuff? And you kind of teach, and you have taught with stories.
Right.
You know, and I'll tell you, I don't know if you remember any of them off the top of your head, but I'd like to push you into giving us one or two of those.
Okay. Well, one that comes to mind occurred in 1995. It was October 31st, Halloween. It's 8 o'clock at night. We're in Memphis, Tennessee. And we got 10 men and one lady. And we're out on the street knocking on doors, trying to book appointments to sell vacuum cleaners. That is a late hour of the day. And that is a day of the year that you're not exactly popular as a door-to-door salesperson to start with. But they don't want to see you on Halloween necessarily. But we've got to make a living, and we had to be motivated. I was a vice president at that time. I didn't need to sell anything. I was just leading troops. But, you know, you find your leaders where you find your leaders. We were on the street. It's 8 o'clock at night. It's cool. It's in Memphis. And we gathered around this car. And we're around this big old Chevrolet, and the streetlight's leaning down on us. And the local manager says, well, boys, it's 8 o'clock at night. Now we can keep on going, or we can cut out of here. Well, this old guy that was with us was 75, and he'd been a door-to-door salesman for over 60 years. He started when he was 15. And he said, boys, he said, let me tell you, we don't know what we're going to see in the next hour. But he says, there's something out there with our name on it. Boys and girls, it's a good life if you don't weaken. Let's go. Well, here I am, the vice president. This old guy was winding up the troops. And you take your leaders where you can find your leaders. And I said, let's go. One more hour, and we sold three more units, and that was about $6,000 in business, and at 30% commission, about $1,800 to three different salespeople. All it took was that one phrase from that one man. Boys and girls, it's a good life if you don't weaken. And by God, back we went, and it happened. And I'd been telling that story for 28 years. So there's where the stories come from, real live experience.
Exactly.
And we have so doggone much fun doing it. So much fun. So, you know, I think that's kind of some of the things you wanted to hear about. Gosh knows, we've done it all, Wayne. And I could tell you it's a formative career. If you want to know where the money is and you want to make some serious money, direct selling, whether it's a part-time position or a full-time or a leadership position or a business ownership position, some big money. Wayne, I personally know over 50 millionaires that have made their fortunes as direct sellers, probably closer to 100.
Yep, me too.
And Dave, and you're one of them.
They had a call on at a Salamaster called the ICE call every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And ICE is an acronym for Inspire, Challenge, and Educate. And it's funny, this week it is your company. And there's some, this morning there was a gal named Sophia. She's a new girl. And holy moly, that's the best person to have in the business. She was just elated, just happy. She's a distributor in training. And your guy that you've mentored and mentored and mentored, Chris McDaniel, was on there kind of helping her. And that was teamwork. So that right there is some of your legacy, because I don't think anyone on the call today or on this show today understands that you've been kind of retired for the last year.
Yeah. Yeah, sure have. Those guys have been running it, but all it takes is some seed planting, Wayne. What do we mean by that? Just step back and think. Use logic and think. You know, a couple weeks ago, I said to Chris, and she wants to go full time, but she's scared. I said, you got to give her a position, which is what we call distributor in training. And you got to give her responsibility, extra responsibility to go with that. And you got to give her a raise in pay and hold her accountable and see what she does. And I didn't even know she was going to be on the ICE call, but I guarantee it was good, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah. And Wednesday is going to be Linda and William. And then Chris on Friday.
But you know, when you go back to her, she was scared. I promise you she was scared 2-3 weeks ago. And yet this made her step outside her shell. And getting the recognition of the small promotion, which she deserved, and getting the recognition of being called on to be a speaker, made her better. And now she'll float all week long. She'll be flying through the universe just happy and just attracting good energy everywhere she goes. You know, Wayne, I had an old boss who was adept at something like this, and you've probably heard of this. He would pick out every management meeting. He'd zero in on the guy that was doing the worst job recruiting and training. And he'd bring him and he'd sit him down. He'd say, John, I need your help. John would say, what? He'd say, well, we're having a big meeting and there are going to be 80 guys there. And John, you're well known in the company. And I would like you to prepare a presentation on what it takes to be an excellent recruiter and trainer. The guy was the worst. John would go, well, me? He'd say, oh, yes, sir, John, I know you got it, and everybody wants to hear from you. Well, he'd immediately start the fire going in John. John would start thinking, then he'd start writing, then he'd start planning. And by thinking and writing and planning, pretty soon John would start to do something personally, because he's got 4 to 5 weeks till he's got to deliver this speech in front of 80 or 100 people. I saw my boss do that at least 4 or 5 times, Wayne. And everyone's got genius in them. Everyone's got ability in them. It's our job to move it out of them, to take it out of them. The first president I worked for, who was a colossal giant, used to say, the salesperson is the salt of the earth, and the manager is the salt shaker.
That's true.
Little philosophy. Your job is to get the best out of them. You know, we know it's a statistic in the sales game that 20% of people do 80% of the sales. And we say, well, how could that be? Those are the ones that are turned on. What about the other 80%? They weren't turned on. But here's the rest of the story. That 20% isn't the same 20% all the time. It constantly shifts, constantly. It's always 20-80, 20-80, 20-80. But it picks up a few people, drops off a few people, and keeps going. I was one of those that it picked up. I used to be in the bottom of the 80%. But by making a mental shift, all of a sudden I was in the top of the 20%. So, you know, Wayne, I know we're going to get to the point here pretty soon where we got to wrap this up. But, you know, today I grabbed the book and I was thinking through it. I was just strolling through and sticking my finger and trying to find things to talk about and things that are good. I'm going to recap something you brought up. You said that we had been a master dealership and then a grandmaster dealership and then an elite master dealership. And I'll tell you what the difference was between being grand or master dealership and the next level up, grand. The difference was my wife and myself went on a cruise and we thought long and hard and determined that we weren't doing it right. We were getting the accolades, we were winning the trophy, but we weren't bringing the people along with us. And it was creating a little bit of poison and resentment in our organization. So we went home and we said, this year, we're taking the top 10 performers with us. When we get to be a grandmaster dealership, we're taking all you folks on a cruise. Well, that cost me $20,000. And my wife said, you know, you're crazy to do that. And I said, well, good crazy, because we're going to spend 20 grand, but we're going to elevate the careers of 10 people. And not only that, they're going to buy into this thing. It's not we're master dealers. They're part of a grandmaster dealership. It's all of us. It's not just me and my wife that are running the show. As soon as we did that, Wayne, we spent that $20,000. Everybody started pushing and going, and we took them all the next. We hit the level. The next year, we went on a big cruise together. But the sales went up so high, the extra profits were nuts. And the profits was what, you know, that's what we cash. We don't need the bonuses. You know, my best bonuses, I guess, were in the range of $50,000 to $75,000 many, many times. But the reason we do our business and work so hard in our industry is for the profits. And they're there as well in big, big ways. So by changing that philosophy, taking it off us and putting it on them, we elevated a lot of people. Everybody chased them all the way up the ladder. And our business doubled in a five-year period. Doubled.
Oh, I was around and saw all that stuff. Yeah. It was crazy. It was wild.
And we got to the point where we would never accept a plaque or trophy without bringing as many people as we could gather to the stage. And lots of times when I had a leadership trophy, you know, there'd be a trophy for the top dealer or whatever. I'd say, well, I want this distributor to come to the stage and please accept the trophy on behalf of us. Why? Because I don't need the spotlight. I need them to get it. And I need them to feel rightfully that they're the drivers.
That's right.
Yeah, and we see that in every good business. We see it in every successful sports team. We even see it in Hollywood. The masterful actors are always the ones that the new actors say they loved them and mentored them and recognized them and bought them a soda on a bad day and patted them on the back and handed them a tissue when they were crying.
Well, Dave, I'll tell you, it's been a great, great visit. But how can people, again, go through, how can they get your book? How can they get hold of you if they've got any questions?
Well, Wayne, that'd be simple. They can get a hold of me on my email is dave@ncsflflorida.net. And the book, Wayne, is available on Amazon in a Kindle format or a soft cover. It's soon going to be in hardcover, and it's very reasonably priced. Gosh, Wayne, I've been traveling a lot. I can't get out of Starbucks for me and the lady I'm with and a couple of pastries for $20. And even the person at the Starbucks counter now expects a $3 tip just for taking your order. So you can't get out for $20. So this book has in it some stuff that could change your life. And you're not going to change my financial equation if you buy it, because I've got plenty of money. But you might change your financial equation. and you might change the equation of someone that you give it to. So that is my hope for you. That is my hope for you, audience that's out there. Get the book, find the lessons, give it to someone else, buy them a copy, and think and grow rich together and enjoy American business, enjoy the sales game, enjoy the direct sales game. Wayne, I think we're out of time, Wayne. And
yeah, we are. And I tell you what, we'll see you all next week for the Concierge Coaches Show on behalf of Bruce Cameron. And we've got the little show that could. We're on Apple. We're on, aggregates of, I can't remember them all, but we're on a bunch of them. And so come see us next week. And we sure appreciate y'all. And David, thank you very, very much.
Hey, I hope it helps you. Thank you, Wayne. You have been such a pleasure. Enjoy the day, everyone.
Thank you. Thanks, Sam.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz.